So, I'm diving under my boat with a hookah rig in my marina.
Yeah, the aft one's loose and the forward one's completely out.
So why am I here? This guy is part of the reason.
I ruined thousands of lives with that magazine, I can tell you. Because all we did.
And why is this 300-pound tattooed Harley rider talking to me from the remote mountains of California about sailing?
The mistake I've made my whole life is when I like something, I get really involved in it. Mm-hmm. And I like sailing.
Since I started cruising Florida's Gulf Coast a few years ago, I've been wanting to write a book. A book about how not to sail. Because I quickly became an expert. And since I'm an audio guy, I figured, well, let's do a podcast to go with it. The screwing up stories are always fun, and I can probably save you from making all the stupid mistakes I have. But mainly, I wanted to pass along the joy of being out there on the water, and maybe uncover the answers to a few questions. Why do people go cruising? What's it like to be out there doing it? And what can it teach us about life? Maybe that sounds a little ambitious, but then, so is the trip I'm about to tell you about. And maybe the best part is meeting all kind of interesting folks, like Bob Bitchin.
I started out as bodyguard for Evel Knievel, and when he went into the ditch, I had to find something to do.
I picked Bob's magazine, Cruising Outpost, formerly Latitudes and Attitudes, to sponsor my podcast about how not to sail, because he ruined my life. At least that's how the joke goes. Hopefully it's a joke. Anyway, I submitted a quarter-page ad for Cruising Outpost's spring issue and printed up 1,000 postcards, which look pretty slick if I do say so myself. And what better way to kick off the podcast than to sail around to Miami for the boat show where Cruising Outpost will be throwing a party. It'll be about a 600-mile round trip. I can drop off postcards and interview folks along the way.
Remind me why you're doing this again.
Because otherwise there's no story.
That's Tanya, but I call her the Admiral. It's a pretty standard cruisers thing. She's skeptical. But she's going to fly from Atlanta to Miami to meet me for the show, and for Valentine's Day. That puts me on a schedule, which is usually a bad thing when you're cruising.
Okay, be careful. Love you.
Love you too.
Okay, so the plans are underway, but I'm not going anywhere anytime soon without a reliable engine. Sure, it's a sailboat, but as Bob Bitchin is fond of pointing out, there's always too much wind or not enough. But it's always on the nose.
JC sails. How about going around, Captain?
Not to mention that trying to sail into a marina slip will make you lose friends in a hurry.
You can't be under sail in here, Captain. Think with your head.
Which is why I'm here under my boat, JC sails, looking at screws. I can't see much, even though the water's only 8 feet deep. With contact lenses, I can see further, but not up close. Without contacts, I can see up close, but not far. I need to see up close so I can see if some very important screws are loose underneath my sailboat. They keep the propeller shaft from knocking around and making the engine unusable.
Yeah, the aft one's loose and the forward one's completely out.
So the bad news is, these screws keep coming loose. The good news is, I have spare screws, and I know how to tighten them back up now. But I don't know how long each fix will last, and I'm not entirely sure I haven't fried the transmission. What could possibly go wrong? How Not to Sail, sponsored by our wonderful Patreon patrons and Latitudes and Attitudes, which at the time of this episode was known as Cruising Outpost. You'll see what I mean later. Coincidentally, this latest issue with the boat seemed to crop up right after I ran aground last time and jammed it straight into reverse like an idiot.
Uh-oh.
But I'm not the only boater to ever do something stupid. Oh no. In fact, the more miles you have, the more stupid things you've done.
After sailing around the world, we go back to that same side of the island, and I backed into the very same pile of rocks.
That's Bob Bitchin. He sailed over 100,000 miles. I've known Bob personally for about a year after reading his stuff for a couple of decades. And I thought, who better to start with than this guy? Especially since he's the sponsor and all. The only problem was, Bob's in the mountains of California, and I won't see him in person until this first episode is already in the can. So, like any cruisers, we improvised.
Let me just make sure I got something, and then I'll call you right back.
I called Bob on Skype, and I asked him how he got started cruising.
So tell us about the day you first fell in love with sailing.
God, that was a mistake. One day I turned left instead of right when I walked out the door, and that'll change your life more than you want to admit. Mm-hmm. Normally, we'd go to Mama Rosa's for burritos and beer for lunch, and because we're on our bikes. But we decided to go down to the marina this particular day. My editor, Degenerate Gemini, we got down to the marina, and after lunch, I walked out, and we're looking at a boat, and a guy's nailing a for sale sign, not literally nailing, but putting a for sale sign on a boat, and I thought, this looks interesting. So I was about 30-something at the time. I didn't start sailing young.
As it turns out, I didn't start young either. I think it may have been a trip I took to the Florida Keys in the 90s that set me off. That crazy turquoise water, and the whole laid-back lifestyle. And then I started reading Bitchin's publication at the time, Latitudes and Attitudes, and around-the-world sailing books like Bernard Moitessier's The Long Way. I was hooked. And Bob told me how he got hooked.
First day out, I was seasick. Second day, I was seasick, wanted to die. Third day out, wished I would die. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about telling them to pull in, and I just wanted to get off the boat. And the third day, I got up, and it was gone. I've never been seasick since. It took 3 days to get over the seasickness. And all of a sudden, I realized the life of being out at sea for days and weeks at a time was so phenomenal that I quit doing drugs and probably saved life. So.
Well, okay. Bob's story is a little more dramatic than mine. But what do you expect from a guy who used to be Evel Knievel's bodyguard?
I met him one night on the Sunset Strip. I was riding my bike, and he was driving his Maserati convertible. And we drug. I didn't know who he was. He didn't know me from Adam. But we stopped at a stoplight, and I looked over at him, and here's this guy wearing a fur coat. And I'm thinking, well, this guy's but the car was hot. And I had just finished working on the engine on my bike. And so I went off the line with him, and he kicked my butt. And we got to the next time. And he says, I'm going to dinner down here at Cerno's. Why don't you pull in and we'll look at your bike? So I was thinking this might be a come-on line, but I pulled in. And that's how I met Knievel. And that night we were drinking together, and we were drinking together until about 4 in the morning. Unfortunately, the bars closed at 2 in the morning.
Ah, yes.
This meant that when the police came to the door, they were going to arrest somebody. They arrested the owner of the bar. Knievel, this first night I knew him, he handed me a wad of bills, and he said, would you go bail him out? And I said, sure. So I went to bail him out. I was arrested when I got to the jail. They said I was interfering with a peace officer. And so I spent the night in the jail, or the rest of the morning, actually, in the jail with Filthy McNasty, which is the owner of the bar, Filthy McNasty's.
Of course.
He was right across the street from the Whiskey Go-Go.
And why wouldn't the owner be named Filthy McNasty? As you can tell, Bob has led a colorful life. You can tell by the names of his boats.
I went from my Cal 28, which was called Rogue, to a Newport 30, which was called Outlaw, to a Formosa 51, which was called Predator. I also had romantic names.
Right.
And then to a Formosa 56, which was the Lost Soul. Mm-hmm. And Lost Soul really fit me, because when people look at me, they'd know, oh, you're off the Lost Soul. They didn't have to ask.
Right.
They knew.
It was aboard the Lost Soul that Captain Bitchin had some of his most interesting how-not-to-sail moments. But first, it's time for me to mention our sponsor, which, conveniently enough for this episode, is Cruising Outpost. Now, you'll pretty much have the story on Cruising Outpost in the interview with Bob Bitchin, but I'll just say this. They're not about the latest fancy spinnaker materials or what to wear at the yacht club. Nope, they're strictly about what it's like to be out there cruising, with tons of photos and stories from actual folks enjoying the cruising lifestyle. And that's what I love about them. Cruising Outpost is America's number one boating lifestyle magazine. In short, they ruined my life. So let them ruin yours too at cruisingoutpost.com. Now, I mentioned that Cruising Outpost publisher Bob Bitchin had many how not to sail moments aboard the Lost Soul. But unlike me, he did a smart thing practicing with his first boat.
And I'd been on my Cal 28 now, maybe 6 months, 3, 4 months, 5 months. And I just teaching myself how to sail. I would just motor out of the harbor with the outboard, and because I didn't want anybody to see me being stupid, you know, in the harbor. I'd go out there, raise my sails, and then I'd practice pulling up against these buoys they had, these 50-foot buoys that were for the oil tankers. Mm-hmm. And I'd just practice side-tying to these tankers so I could learn how to use my boat and not look silly.
Right.
And I looked silly for many, many, many years, but it was fun.
And it is fun. And sometimes scary, but a lot of times just very zen, especially on long crossings.
A crossing to me is what sailing is about, because what people don't realize is when you're out there cruising, the only thing you're thinking about is what's for lunch. You're just either reading a book, or if something goes wrong, you're fixing it. But it's not like when you live in a house where you're worried about your insurance, your car, where it's parked, or the what you have to do that afternoon, all the garbage that you go through when you're living as a land slug.
And I'm sure that's one thing that attracts me to cruising. Not that there aren't some beautifully terrifying moments sometimes.
We're doing 8.5 knots. We're surfing down 30-foot faces of waves, and we're going across the channel, and everything's lovely. We get about 8 miles out into the channel, and I'm at the wheel, and all of a sudden, I see the head sail luff. And I'm like, that's odd. And why would a head sail luff? I turn and I look behind me, and there is an 80-foot wall of water. It was two 30-foot waves that had crossed and made a rogue wave with a 50-foot wave. But the height of a wave is not from the bottom. It's from sea level. And there's a dip in front of it. So overall, the way I knew it was 80 feet is our mast was 76 feet. It's over the mast. So I, of course, didn't have a harness on. That's how not to sail.
Right.
And I put my arm through we had a destroyer wheel, the ship's wheel. I put my arm through it and locked my hand. And as I did, we went up the face of the wave because boats float. But there's less water on one side than there was on the other. So the boat started to invert. The mast went underwater. The boat was like this. We augured in, but we're doing 8.5 knots. We're 42 tons. You don't stop 42 tons. And then it did what boats are supposed to do. It popped back up again because of the keel. We righted instantly. Wave broke. I looked up and I saw, wow, that's beautiful, because the sun was shining. I mean, it was windy, but sun was shining. And the water coming off the mainsail looked like Niagara Falls. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful. And I looked down and I said, Jody, you ought to see this. And this is where I came up with the saying that the difference between an ordeal and an adventure is attitude. This is where Jody came up with the saying, sometimes it's just an ordeal.
Which raises a good point. Attitude means a lot in cruising and I guess in life. If you're a miserable SOB on land, you'll be a miserable SOB on the water. Now, just because I curse like William S. Burroughs with Tourette's when something goes suddenly wrong, hopefully doesn't mean I'm overly tense or anything, does it? Anyway, stuff will go wrong, and learning to embrace that and roll with it is part of the Zen training. In fact, you're almost certain to make the same mistakes over and over. So just get used to it.
The first time I went from a 30-foot boat to a 50-foot boat, I felt like I was on an aircraft carrier. Hmm. I had stolen this boat. I mean, I bought it for $99,000. It was a 50-foot Formosa. It was beautiful. But it was new to me, but it was an older boat. It was a couple years old, 5 years. So as soon as I got it, I wanted to go to Catalina because now I was used to going there on my other boats, and I just got to go there. So we go to the backside of Catalina, and we decide nice place to anchor. So I put the anchor over. It starts going down. I figure we were in about 80 feet of water. I'm going to put out about 200 feet. The anchor chain goes out about 60 feet of chain, about 100 foot of line, and then right over.
Oops.
Yeah, oops is right. So my first mate, Bruce, he jumps over, goes down, gets the line, brings it back up. We put it on the windlass. We crank it back up again, and then we go into shallower water where we immediately backed into a pile of rocks.
Of course.
Now, it was on the chart, but I wasn't looking at the chart because I knew what I was doing. I'd been there before.
Right.
So anyway, you learn from your experiences, they say.
Mm-hmm.
They are wrong, because about 10 years later on the Lost Soul, the 56-footer, after sailing around the world, probably after 75,000 miles at that time, we go back to that same side of the island. I drop my hook, but now it's tied on because I learned from that,
mm-hmm.
and I backed into the very same pile of rocks that I hit 10 years
ago. Oh, dear.
That's how you don't anchor.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that audience laughter sound effect's going to come in handy.
Well, maybe I won't use the audience laughter effect. In fact, as I work on JC Sails and wonder if we can make the trip to Miami and back, I'm also still trying to figure out exactly what the podcast will sound like, will feel like. I've got the interview with Bob recorded, but I feel like I want to do a little more storytelling of my own. And do something a little more like maybe Startup meets Radiolab. But I have plenty of time to think about it, right? I've already got things set up online and got the trailer posted, which you may have already heard. But the release date for episode 1 isn't until February 28th.
Get out there and do it. I mean, there is no wrong way. The big thing is that the only thing that really messes with people's minds is the things that they do not know yet.
So I'm going to take Bob's advice, and hopefully I'm going to sail and motor sail around Florida, meet Tanya in Miami for Valentine's Day, say hi to Bob and Jody at the boat show, hand out a bunch of postcards, see my ad in Cruising Outpost, and launch this podcast like a boss. What could possibly go wrong? Don't miss the next episode of How Not to Sail. You can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcast source is at HowNotToSail.com. And I won't be a bit mad at you if you feel like leaving a nice 5-star review and rating like our friend Kira has already done. Speaking of which, on today's Coconut Telegraph segment here, I want to thank Kira and all the very first early adopters who've already joined the email list. Big thanks to Sid, Susan, Cousin Sandy, Eric Stone, more on him later, Rob, Francisco, David, and Ted. If you're listening, I'd love for you to leave a comment on this episode at HowNotToSail.com/1. Let me know if you're out there cruising, if I scared the bejesus out of you coming into a marina somewhere, or whatever you like. And I'll see you next week on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
JC Sails, how about going around, Captain? How about going around?